Welcome to The Deadline. I'm Laura, your host and founder of the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society. And here it is, November 16th, day before our big NJGHS 500. And of course, I'm here with tech guru and producer of The Deadline, Brian Sant.
And I'm tired.
I know, you poor baby. You had a late night Saturday, this past Saturday night, right? Yeah, he did. Brian did training for the Certified Paranormal Investigator course at Eastern State Penitentiary in Philadelphia, PA. And you guys actually went even later, huh? You were supposed to be out of there at 2, and you hung on till 3. So you really had a long haul. And then drive all the way home.
Driving home? Oh.
Man. But at least you guys, I mean, I know you did a good job, and you were telling me some stuff that we can't discuss because the people who are the trainees have to, they have 2 weeks to submit their report of findings. And John and Mark, if you're listening, I know you're a father and son team and blah, blah, blah. You can't submit a father and son report. Each person who takes the training has to submit their own report of findings with, you know, your historical encapsulation, your digital video, audio, blah, 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 all that stuff. But you can send it electronically to me, Laura H. at the deadline at NJGHS. You have 2 weeks. I'll review everything. Brian reviews it all. We set up our scoring sheet, and then you'll get, you'll be apprised of what the score is. As long as you got 80 or better, you'll get your special laminated card and your new certificate and yada yada. Right, Brian?
Absolutely.
So, but you guys had a good time, right? It was pretty productive that night, I understand. At least you had good weather. It was a little chilly, but good.
It wasn't too bad when we first got there as we were sitting there talking, going through the training part. It started getting chilly.
Yeah, it's damp in there, so it kind of goes right through every layer.
And of course, I went to Zorba's.
Yes, yes, a certain someone did call me to rub crap in my face about the Dolmatis that I so crave now.
Oh yes,
they are good.
But I was a little disappointed with the souvlaki.
You're kidding.
Yep, it wasn't as good as it usually was.
Busy night.
It was very busy there.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I guess someday I'll go back down to Zorba's.
Well, next training session, you can train.
You know I don't like being there after midnight because of the buggies.
Well, when it's colder, you don't have to worry about them.
That's true. I mean, I don't mind the ghosts, you know. That's not a problem, but, you know, those cockroach things, oh, man. And you were telling me that you saw a mouse and a rat. And I'm like, I don't mind rodents. I can deal. You know, they're fuzzy. They're, like, cute in a way.
Well, I saw a squish mouse.
Well, yeah. Well, hey, you know, I have a cat. Two cats. And the one is when he's a mouser. And when I was back in the house with him and, you know, I thought it was like he had thrown up. And I saw this real, like, skinny part off of it. And I thought, wow, that's weird looking cat yak. And then as I turned the light on, I realized it was a mouse that was decapitated.
Yummy.
Yeah. Thanks, Bob.
Well, he's trying to feed you.
And he was just saying, see, I caught this. Because I kept wondering, why does he, you know, his litter box was in the basement at the time. And I had one of those little pet doors installed on the basement door. So that way he could go down and come up at his leisure. And I thought, boy, he's been spending an awful lot of time in that basement. And then, yeah, that's why.
Well, good for him.
Yeah, so, but like I said, mice, things like that don't bother me. It's the real creepy, crawly, slithery, you know.
As a matter of fact, I did bring that up in the training session.
You did?
I said, you know what?
What, my phobia?
No.
Oh.
I was like, I'm the only person that's done the training.
But you're so good at it. Ladies and gentlemen, Brian, yay!
I was like, you know what? I think it's time for someone else to take a session.
Okay. Well, maybe, you know what we'll do? Next time we'll book two groups. We'll both go down. That way you and I can have dinner at Zorba's and then, because I won't eat alone. You know, the only way I eat alone is if I'm in front of the television at home, you know. So I wouldn't do it in a public restaurant. So we could take two teams, and then we'll both go down, we'll eat, then we'll get our teams together, do the training, and then separate, you know. That way there would be five people in one part and five people in another, and then we'll switch. We could do that.
Yeah, and they also had all the Halloween stuff still up.
Oh, isn't that fun?
He kept telling us, I don't like going in cell block 12.
Yeah, Jesse, the guide.
Yeah. He's like, because
he's a cool dude.
Yeah, very nice.
Yeah. He remembers me from the CNN spot. Huh?
And the Montel.
Wow. Hi, Jesse. You know, it's so funny, I mean, how much I've been down there and yet.
I know the feeling.
Yeah, well. And I never get bored of it, though. It's like as soon as you just start pulling up Fairmont Ave and you see that wall, that castle-like structure, and it's just like, it's just stunning.
They are also going to be open December, January, and February for day tours.
Are you kidding? Because they always close down those months.
They're going to be open. They're going to be open, but they're going to have guided tours at like two or three times during the day.
Wow, very good. And
weather dependent.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I said, no, it's not awesome. Not for you guys when you have to give the tour.
Yeah, because it does get really cold in there. I mean, you and I were down there last December, right?
Uh-huh.
We filmed Magnificent Obsessions and... You know, it wasn't too bad during the day. We hit a nice day. It was a nice sunny day. But boy, that sun went down that night. Oh, my God.
Well, we had a very good night that was absolutely clear when we were out in the exercise yard. You know, you could see all the stars. And
Yeah, what was I doing Saturday night? Oh, I went out to dinner with my friend, Sean, met his friend, Kelly, and her mother-in-law-to-be, Joan. We had dinner. And then from there, I left. So I was thinking about you, and of course I didn't even get a smoke signal, you know, or a homing pigeon or any kind of communique the next day, so I began to wonder, like, oh my God, is he like, you know, did he get sucked into the prison walls? What happened?
Well, at least I would have had a better sleep.
What's the deal with Fort Mifflin now? Because I haven't even checked to see how, I don't know if anybody out there knows, but if you click on, I think it's our investigations page, there's a drop down for Fort Mifflin. And I think we have a couple spots left. It's we have three spots left?
We have three spots open right now.
Okay, yeah, because this is only going to be a group of 10 people for an all-nighter. So it's going to give you a very, I guess, intense investigation because you won't be one of 30 like the last time. You'll be one of 10 people for an all-nighter at Fort Mifflin. It's $100 per person, you know, because we have to still cover everything, but... You know, so check that out on the Fort Mifflin. It's a drop down, I think, the investigations tab on
our
website. And then you can register with PayPal. And like Brian said, we have three spots left, so you want to get in on that so we can lock that up. I need to pay them and get that squared away.
Yep.
And that's for December 15th?
15th.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, and then, well, we'll get to that. I have the meeting announcements and stuff to do and... You know, so Eastern State went well, and that's good. And I'm looking forward to the report of findings from all the participants. And, you know, and kudos to Jason Cummings. I didn't know he had to come all the way from Newark, Delaware. I thought he was a Jersey boy.
I didn't know.
No. Wow. Well, congratulations, Jason. That's dedication. I totally applaud that. And I know, too, he was going through a rough time, you know, I think his father-in-law or something is very sick.
Right. I even told him, I was like, you know what? I said, you've been up this long. I said, might want to think about just getting a room. And,
he was like,
nah. And apparently, I was talking with John and Mark, and they said everything's booked up. The Best Western down there was filled up. They're actually staying in Cherry Hill.
Yeah, that's right. I stayed the last time.
Yeah, because
if there's a game in town or some big event, you can't get a room there. That's where the kids and I stayed when we were filming, which we've never seen to this day for TF1. Thank you very much, Sarah, over in Paris, France. Right, Brian?
Exactly.
I had to pay for a hotel room, take the kids with me in teeming, driving, torrential, freaking April rain. Pouring, like curtains, you know, puddles. I mean... Freaking raindrops were hitting the windshield the size of hubcaps. You know, I mean, out in all this rain. And to this day, it was supposed to air in June. Then she said it was pushed back to July.
And
I've never heard another word, and we've never seen it. Typical. I don't know what it is with the French. When I filmed with M6 on location at Cranberry Inn, my God. I even got out my old French dictionary and wrote to them in French, en français, saying, this is what I need. This is what I would like. I copied the executive producer, who was Nick LaBelle Weiss in New York City. He said, wow, that was great. You know, because he knew French. He's like, that was perfect. You know, never got a word back. And he was drumming them. But yeah, so Sarah, I know you don't listen to this. But écoutez, s'il vous plaît.
Last thing I heard was, and I think I asked her in like August, September, is that it was pushed back again.
Oh, it was pushed back again.
Yep.
Well, you know what? You can push it back till the next millennium. I don't give a rat's butt. But just send me a copy of the tape.
They're not going to send a copy
until
it airs.
We can't until it airs, yeah.
I would just say, well, that's a wash.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so that was the deal. Yep, that's the last time I had to stay in Cherry Hill with the kids and then schlep over for the nighttime investigation. So I had to leave the kids in the hotel room, drive from Cherry Hill back over to Eastern State, do all the investigating.
At least we got a free dinner.
That night? Yes, because I met you there, and we met Sarah and... What was his name, the cameraman? That's on our website. Yeah. Anyway, so Sarah and the cameraman, and he was having all his camera problems, but we had dinner. That's right. They did treat us to dinner. And then I had to drive back, and then the next day I had to meet her, and we had to go to this other person's house, film there, you know. And then she got to meet Jason and Grant. And so I gave 3 children's T-shirts. It turns out the one guy has, like, 4 kids or something. Or I gave 2 shirts in the home.
Oh, place. Yeah. Jason has, like, what, 12?
I don't know. He's got a lot. I think he has 4 or 5, and I gave 3 shirts or something. So I think Grant took them home for his kids because I think there were enough for his kids. But never, ever, even, like, a one-line email, got shirts, thanks, or, oh, that was thoughtful, nothing.
Nothing.
They're so supreme.
No, because we're not Tapp's family.
And not for lack of trying.
Why not?
Which really pissed me off. Did I ever tell you how this pissed me off one time?
Yes.
Let me tell you again.
You told us all.
Let me tell you again. Dudes, way back when I first saw Jason and Grant on, like, a news show, I was flipping channels one night. I think it was, like, some obscure thing, like, not WPIX, but, you know, Channel 11, right. Whatever the hell they are now. Back then, it was a WB, you know. Now it's CW. So I'm flipping along. I'm like, oh, I see coming up next, ghost hunting. I'm like, ooh, let me, because I never watch the news, but I just happen to flick it and hear coming up next, ghost hunting. And I'm watching these two guys. I'm like, wow, their name is Tapps? Oh, the Atlantic Paranormal, blah, 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 blah. So I go to the computer, I Yahoo search it. Sure enough, up comes their site. I send them an email saying, wow, I saw you guys on the news. Pretty cool, you know. You're right in Rhode Island. I'm in New Jersey. Time goes by. I actually get an email back from Grant saying, wow, sorry. You know, we get so inundated with these emails, and I'm just getting back to you now.
Right,
and I'm like,
right.
Cool. So I apply through their site to get the New Jersey Ghost Center Society as a Tapps family member because, hey, you know, we're pretty damn big in the state, you know? Never get a response. So finally, I send an email again, and Grant, thankfully, this time does reply and says, again, I'm really sorry, we're backed up. We're probably going to be discontinuing the whole taking applications for Tapps family stuff because it's just getting too much. Well, I think what was happening at that point, they were already filming for Sci-Fi's show.
Probably.
But they, you know, weren't allowed to say that to anybody. But long story short, one day I'm surfing on some little minuscule, pathetic GeoCities website for ghost hunting. Can't even flip the freaking $6.99 for a domain name on GoDaddy. Okay? Need I say more? And on this crappy little freebie site is Tapps family member approved logo. And I was spitting bullets. I was spinning like a top. I'm like, we have a domain name. We have all these investigations under our belt. All these members training, yada, yada, yada. And this little fly-by-night thing gets the Tapps thumbs up seal of approval family member and not the NJGHS? Ugh! Okay. I'm done now.
Okay.
So, I hope the kids love their shirts, Grant.
My wife probably using them for dust rags.
Yeah, I know. He probably said, wow, this is good. Next time we're cleaning out someone's toilet and I want to wipe off my tools. Hey, you know.
They don't clean anyone's toilet.
Well, they got to fix toilets. They are Roto-Rooter dudes. They probably don't even do Roto-Rooter anymore because I haven't seen them even mention it on the show anymore.
Probably not.
They're too big for that now.
Yeah, exactly. They make too much money to get that.
I mean, their appearances alone, it's like $1,500 for them to walk through the door and stand there, you know, from what I hear. Don't quote me on that. I'm not an agent. What do I know? But, you know?
Believe me, I know.
Oh, well. Why don't we get to the meeting announcement so I can calm down and...
Something.
Whew, yeah. Okay. Let's see. All meetings start at 7 p.m. and end at 8:30 p.m. They are free and open to the public to attend. Just bear that in mind. You don't have to be a member to go to one of our monthly meetings. The first one that's coming up is on November 20th. That is the Hackettstown meeting. That's the Northwest Division headed up by team leader Dina Chirico. It'll be held in the Community Center, which is located at 293 Main Street in the Blue Room. And in fact, at that meeting, we are going to be showing The Haunting of Danbury House. Right, Brian?
Yeah.
Yeah, which means I got to borrow the LCD.
No.
Oh, come on.
It's not here.
Oh, that's right. That's the one that mysteriously walked away? Or no?
No, it's out at it one of our out. Project managers.
Oh, okay. All right, well, you know, we are going to show The Haunting of Danbury House. It may end up just being on a computer monitor, but, you know, at some point that'll be shown at the Northwest Division meeting. Then you have the Northeast Division headed up by team leader Laura Lindemann. That's going to be in Bogota on November 29th. That's the Bogota Recreation Center, conveniently located at 162 West Main Street. And then after that, we're moving into December. As you know, we take the month of December off so everybody can do the whole holiday spiel of running around like idiots, shopping, cooking, baking, cleaning.
Does that mean no podcast?
Oh, no. The podcast goes on and on and on.
How come
and
I don't get a break?
Well, what about me? I mean, I don't get a break. Plus, you've got Fort Mifflin in December.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've got the podcast, and I have a book to write. I know, I've been writing my book, but this is a totally different book because they don't want places like I've written about, like my investigations.
Yes, yes, but this is a book that you will make money off of.
Well, you know. What do you mean? What's the face for?
Do I make money off of Fort Mifflin?
Well, aha! If you were to score the full body apparition and you'd sell it to Spielberg or something, yeah, you'd make money.
Yeah.
I know, if is the largest two-letter word in the English language.
Even if you get a full body apparition, the skeptics would rip it apart.
All the more so, you know. But in any event, those are the meetings. They're all listed on the homepage at njghs.net, so if you missed anything, you can always check there. And like I said, no meetings in December, so you've only got the two that are left in November now, November 20th and the 29th. Now, tomorrow night, because this show is going to air or upload on the 16th, which is Friday, 17th, which is Saturday, is the big, long-awaited NJGHS 500 party. Yes, you heard it right, folks. We are celebrating 500 members. Actually, we're up to about 503. I just haven't had time to process the other stuff. So, Walter, I know you were there at the... Yeah, it was Walter at the Halloween thing. Don't worry, I haven't forgotten about you. But that's right, we're going to celebrate the growth to 500 members. It's at the Sparta Ambulance Squad, located at 14 Sparta Ave in Sparta, New Jersey. The party runs from 7 to 11. It's only $25 per person. And I've still left the PayPal link up on the website. So that way, if you're someone who wants to pay with PayPal or plastic, you can go ahead and do it there. Friday, it's going to come down or whatever. Yeah, Friday, it'll come down. And then you'll only be able to pay at the door. And it's cash only at the door. No checks, no plastic, just cash at the door. If you, you know, want to fence it up until the last minute, then be my guest. But you'll have to pay cash. We're also going to do a 50-50 raffle. It'll be sold in $10 increments, $10, 10 tickets. And so, of course, a 50-50, half of the money goes to whoever the winning ticket is. The other half we're going to donate to the Sparta Ambulance Squad since they are a fully manned volunteer squad. So we figured it's nice that we're getting to use their squad building and we should give something back and support them. We're also going to have the band Johnny Peso. Now, I just saw them at Bugs and Kathy's party on November 3rd. They sound better than ever. It was awesome. So I'm looking forward to them playing at our party on this Saturday. And you can check them out at peso.homestead.com. And or you can also click on them. They're in my friends. They're like first link of my friends on my MySpace page, which is myspace.com/NJGHS. So, remember, you can come dressed comfortably and enjoy the party, and there'll be a help-yourself bar with alcoholic and non-alcoholic drinks. The only thing I can tell you, I mean, I know, I hearken back to the days of a drink in one hand, a cigarette in the other, and you can't do that anymore in New Jersey. The bars don't allow it. Obviously, it's an ambulance squad building, so you can't smoke in there. So that's the only hiccup for those of you who are, you know, like me from the old days. You have to go outside to have a cig.
I was told to ask you a question regarding the alcoholic drinks.
Okay.
Are you providing the mixing stuff with the alcoholic drinks?
Duh.
Well, I said I wasn't sure, and I would...
All right, well, here's the deal. Since I don't work for that former employer where I used to have access to the company store to get the roses and all the mixers and stuff, you know, the mixers are going to consist of Coke, Sprite, some orange juice, and whatever other mixers that I had left over from my previous place of employ. And that's it. So basically, you can do a basic, like, bourbon and Coke, rum and Coke, vodka and orange, maybe like cranberry juice, vodka and cranberry.
Vodka and tonic?
Yeah, I would get tonic water, seltzer water, and then Coke and Sprite. So that
maybe some limes?
Oh, definitely. I'm cutting up limes and lemons so people can...
Those were the two things I was asked to ask you
about. All right.
About.
Oh, no. I always have all the accoutrements in terms of... I won't go as far as maraschino cherries, but I will put out sliced, you know, cut up limes and lemons, so depending on what kind of drink you want. And then there's people... And oh, you know what, though? I will not have diet soda. So if you're someone who has to have diet soda, get it yourself or bring it yourself, because it's just not my shtick, you know? I just... I'm not going to sit there for the few people that drink it and buy a whole case of it, because then if I get stuck with it, I won't drink it. And you know what? You shouldn't drink it, because first of all, the crap they put in it is going to make you gain weight. Seriously. Come on, Brian, hear me out here. Did you know that? That aspartame actually increases the appetite. So you're drinking this diet soda thinking, oh, I'm dieting. Yeah, right. Meanwhile, you're making yourself twice as hungry. Second of all, carbonation, anything carbonated, champagne, beer, seltzer water, carbonation actually blocks the absorption of minerals and vitamins in the food that you ingest. Therefore, you're eating to starve. So, and it also, since it's carbonated, it's a gas, it expands your stomach, which means you start getting the gut and you're able to eat even more food, and you want to eat more food because you're not absorbing from the food you're eating. So it's a really lose-lose situation. So you'll always see me with either water, iced tea, and except when I'm drinking, then it's a rum and Coke. At that point, I don't give a crap anyway.
Somebody has too much free time on their hands.
Hell no. I got a lot of work to do. And you know, you can ask my guy. I'm a very, very busy person. Seriously. I knocked out a lot today. Anyway, so people, you should really come to the party, because if you think I'm this hyper now, wait till you see me with a drink in my hand. No.
I'm staying away from her.
No. But seriously, it's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, honestly, for me, it'll be a lot of work. So I doubt I'll run up to the microphone long enough to pay homage to my team leaders and acknowledge people and blah, blah, blah. And that's about it.
Yeah, really, I don't get acknowledged.
I'm acknowledging you. Did you not see that email today?
Excuse me. I seem to remember a little
press release. Yeah,
press release that went out that was missing something.
Yeah. Guilty as charged. Sorry.
I mean, and it wasn't just like a little Yahoo blast. No, it's a press release.
That hit the AP wire, was picked up. Uh-huh. Yeah, I know, yeah. Aw. All right. Well, how many mea culpas do you want? All right. We should move along now to a commercial break.
Do you have what it takes to be a ghost hunter? Are you fascinated with the paranormal? Then why not take your interest to the next level and join the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society? For a $20 lifetime membership fee, you'll receive training on our cemetery hunts, get to participate on investigative teams for private investigations, and receive discounts on books we sell. Members also get the reduced rate on special events we offer throughout the year. You can PayPal right from the homepage of www.njghs.net or send your check or money order payable to Ghost Hunters to P.O. Box 8018, Parsippany, New Jersey, 07054. Happy haunting.
I'm Jane Doherty, psychic medium and author of Awakening the Mystic Gift. And you're listening to The Deadline, podcast of the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society.
Welcome back. It's time for Parashare. Now, we have a new deal with Parashare. If you are not a member of...
It's not a new deal. It's the same deal. We've had this deal for months now.
A month or more. About a month. Anyway, don't listen to him. If you're not a member of the NJGHS and you want to be a member and you don't want to spend $20, send in a Parashare. All it is a story of your paranormal experience. It doesn't have to be something that you could prove up one side and down the other. Just what you experienced that you thought was, ooh, that's kind of pooky, spooky, weird, you know?
It's kind of pooky.
I know, I screwed up. You know, do you have to call attention to every error I make?
That's one of the few joys in life that I have.
I'll say.
Oh, you want to talk about that? We could bring up other things.
What other things? Not much can come up these days now, can it?
Well, maybe I'll mention stuff that was mentioned off air.
Oh, no. Oh, no. So anyway, if you'd like to share your paranormal story, send it to thedeadline@njghs.net, okay? And that way, we read it on the show, and you get membership. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. I'm just waiting for any other snide interjections. Are you stable now?
I'm always stable.
Yeah. Okay. Actually, we have a Parashare. I know.
Oh, no, no, no. It's good news. We've had Parashares the last couple of them. So.
I know. It's like, whew.
About time.
Parashare orgasm here. Wow.
Only 3 years.
Oh, this poor man. Okay. Anyway, here's the Parashare. It says, hey, Laura, just a follow-up for you. When you mentioned my Parashare on your show, you asked if the food had gotten any better. She's talking about the Cash Town Inn in Gettysburg. Well, let me just say the appetizer and the dessert were great, but the main meal was a little too burnt for me. The final shock was the total of the meal. Wow. Yeah, you know, that's why I said they price themselves out like it's haute cuisine, and it's far from it. And the reason the appetizer and dessert were probably good was they probably came from Costco, you know. The actual crap they had to cook, they burned. I mean, I'm sorry, but I get very peeved when I go out to dinner and food is put in front of me and my first forkful, all I'm thinking is I could have made it better. I want to go out and I want to be like wine dined and have very good food, something that not on my best day could I make for myself, right? That's the whole point of going out to eat. Because if you go out to eat and you're like, God, I make this better.
You realize I'm a single bachelor.
Yeah.
Pizza Hut's like cuisine to me.
Oh, God. All right, well, for those of you who hearken back, like my old digs back in the 80s was the Black Orchid. It was the Governor Morris. It was in the Headquarters Plaza Hotel in Morristown. This restaurant, oh, my God, Raul, I've talked to you about him. Raul was the maitre d', and that was when you went out and gentlemen were required to wear jackets after 6 p.m. and it was actually going out to dinner. Now everything today is this whole family style slop and, you know, people showing up in jeans and sneakers and there's really nowhere to get dressed up and go out. Well, there was that one down in Middletown. What was the name of that? I heard a commercial of it one time. I booked it. Oh, wow. I mean, they had an artisanal cheese they brought out. You name it. Everything. Course after course.
Go up to
the
Rambo
White
Room.
Glove service.
That's like suit and tie requirement.
Yeah.
You know, women must be in like a dress.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, they're just breaking down the doors to take me out to places like that. Not anymore.
Who's they?
Yeah, not anymore. That's right. The ghost chick's off the market. All right. Anyway, so let's continue with this. So that answers that for you. Now, to the paranormal stuff. I told you in the last Parashare that I would let you know if we got anything on EVP, and I regret to inform you that I got nada. I haven't asked my friends yet if they got anything, so again, I'll let you know. Got anything. I'm Brian.
Yes, hum, Laura.
In other news, I can't remember if I mentioned the weird feelings I got while on the Farnsworth House ghost walk. I have to say that in the area behind the school where we went to hear the stories on the tour is pretty spooky. Not pooky, but spooky. As we were sitting there listening to the tour guide tell us about the events that happened in this area, I got very dizzy and had to sit down. I felt like I was drunk and I had not been drinking. I felt like this the whole time we were back behind the school. The feeling of dizziness went away as soon as I left that area and we headed back to the Farnsworth house. When we all got back to the Cashtown Inn and were sitting there discussing things, one of my female friends said she felt as if something had brushed by her while we were out there. And then one of the guys mentioned that he thought he had seen a dark shape circling the group. See, he's the one that goosed her, and he's trying to blame it on a ghost. I get the picture here. Anyway, I did find one interesting photo that I got using my 35mm camera. Whoa, Margaret. Still shooting 35mm? I mean, you can't even... You have to go to, like, a Photoshop now to get those... Camera shop to get those that film, right?
I go to the drugstore still.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Because last I heard, Kodak was discontinuing it and was only going to sell it to camera shops, you know. Anyway, I took it during the ghost walk. The picture shows a giant diamond-shaped orb. Well, newsflash, we discovered this years ago. When the orbs come out diamond-shaped, it's because it's usually, I don't know if you're shooting a Pentax. There was one of those cameras, like, I can't remember if it was Pentax or Canon, that when they had some type of light refraction from the flash, it would create a diamond-shaped kind of orb anomaly. Anyway, so that might be the issue there. But it shows a diamond-shaped orb on the shoulder of my friend. The interesting thing is that it looks like it has a face in it. I have yet to show it to my friend to see what his reaction is. When I do, I'll let you know his reaction. If you would like, once I get my scanner hooked up to my computer, I could send you this photo. Yes, please do. So, to wrap this up, I just have one question. This weird feeling seems to happen to me in areas where there is a lot of paranormal activity going on, and it makes me wonder sometimes if this is a psychic ability or not. I don't see myself as being psychic, though, so I don't know how to explain it. In your opinion, what do you think? And finally, since I know this will not be uploaded until after Halloween, I will end this parashare with a belated happy Halloween to you and Brian. Margaret. Well, thank you, Margaret. And yes, what you are experiencing is what we used to call in the old days when we were only doing analog EVP and shooting 35mm was your ghost on.
Laura Lindemann.
Laura Lindemann, yes, I know. My dear buddy. She's still got her analog audio. But yeah, back then when I used to train people, I mean, and that's how I started out ghost hunting, and I called it my ghostometer. You know, every person is different. You're maybe getting it as a feeling of lightheadedness and dizziness. Some people get it as like butterflies in their stomach. Some people get it as if their stomach's dropping out. You know, but each person's different. I got rid of mine because I got so dependent on the results from digital, so... But yeah, it sounds like that's your sixth sense kicking in, Margaret, so go for it. And I think I wrote that back to you as well. So, we had an update. A while ago we did a little news flash on the Texas Chupacabra, and Phyllis Canyon had found the bizarre beast on the outskirts of her ranch, and she cut off the head and saved it because she was going to mount it on her wall with all her other fine kills when she goes safariing in Africa. And she had DNA testing done, and it turns out that it's a coyote.
Yep.
One of the weirdest, scariest, freakiest looking friggin' coyotes I've ever seen in my life, but nonetheless, that's what DNA says it's what it is. It's a coyote. On the deadline page of the NJGHS site, you will see there's a very long link. I'm not going to read it out here. It's too long and complicated, but you can go to the deadline page on the NJGHS.net site, and you'll see the chupacabra thing there, and you can click on that link to get the whole story. So... That was pretty interesting. And thank you, Margaret, for the follow-up on the parashare and everything. She's very, very cool.
Yes.
Very cool. All right, we're going to take a quickie break here.
If you're ready to take your ghost hunting to the next level, you're ready to be a certified paranormal investigator by the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society. The certification includes 4 hours of hands-on, concentrated training by the NJGHS leaders at the most haunted prison in the United States, Eastern State Penitentiary, located in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. To participate, you must have all of your own equipment. Register online at the NJGHS.net website certification page. Costs are $125 for current members and $145 for non-members of the NJGHS who will receive their membership going forward. PayPal, MasterCard, and Visa are accepted. Upon completion of the course, submission of your report of findings, and achieving a total point score of 80 or better, you will receive your certificate and new certified paranormal investigator card from the NJGHS. All the details are on the certification page of the NJGHS.net website. So what are you waiting for? Take your hobby seriously. Become a certified paranormal investigator.
Hi, I'm Mark Nesbitt, author of The Ghosts of Gettysburg and many other books on historical and paranormal accounts. You're listening to The Deadline, podcast of the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society.
Okay, it's time for Haunted Trivia. Now, last week's Haunted Trivia, you were asked, what town did the supposed witch trials in New Jersey take place? The answer, Mount Holly. Do you know nobody even gave it a shot? Not one person even tried to answer. Okay? It's pathetic, people. It's really pathetic. Okay. This week's Haunted Trivia has a skill level of quasi-challenging. Ghost pets. Yes, we've come to realize that not just humans come back to the earth plane in spirit form, but animals do too. There is the story of a town dog named Brownie. He was laid to rest in 1954. He was so beloved by the townspeople and visitors that enough donations amassed to give him a burial and ceremony. The mayor's quotation of "he was a good dog" was placed at the bottom of Brownie's headstone. One paranormal investigator had the distinct feeling of warmth at her leg while sitting on a bench in this park where Brownie is buried after she invited the spirit of Brownie to join her. Upon feeling as if the dog was there beside her, she noticed her fellow investigators coming over the hill to join her, and with that the sensation left her. She quickly took a picture and got an orb. Upon further review of this orb on the computer, it appeared to have Brownie's sweet face contained within it. What town in the United States did Brownie live in and was subsequently buried in? Extra points if you can give the name of the park, too. Okay, so be the first person to name the town that Brownie was in or from, and email that correct answer to hauntedtrivia@njghs.net, and you will win an NJGHS t-shirt. Woohoo! Now, we have a little announcement here. I know I spoke about this a couple weeks ago. We got all the details. The event is called Bella's Blessing. Little Isabella is the granddaughter of Gregory and Sherry Irish, our team leaders for the Central Jersey Division, and very sadly and tragically, she has been diagnosed as having SMA, which is spinal muscular atrophy. She's a little infant. They don't give her very long to survive. In fact, they said if she definitely won't see her first birthday. So it is very heartbreaking and gut-wrenching, and something good is coming out of it in the fact that they are doing this event. It's called Bella's Blessing. It's going to be held at the Lakeside Manor in Hazlitt on Wednesday, December 12th. It starts at 6:30 p.m., and it's $75 per person and includes a sit-down dinner with beer, wine, and live music. You can make your checks payable and your donations payable to the Rainbow Foundation. They do have a tax-exempt ID number. All that information is on the deadline page of the NJGHS site. So they're going to have, in addition to the dinner and dancing, there'll be a 50-50 raffle and some other auctions and things. All this stuff is to raise money, so to help with the family, you know, because they're having to bear a lot of the burden of the cost, you know, with helping and treating this child and during this time. And as well as, I guess, to spearhead more of research and to find something that can be done about SMA. I know personally, the first boss I had where I worked at that place in Parsippany, his son has it. He's still alive. I mean, the kid is like maybe 10 or 11 now, but he's been in a wheelchair his whole life. And each night his parents take turns. One parent has to always sleep in the room, you know, in the bed with him because of the atrophy of the spinal cord or back, whatever, he can't turn himself over. So each parent takes a turn each night staying with him so, you know, during the night they can wake up to turn him over to get him to his other side. I mean, so it's not an easy thing, you know. It is very sad. So, but hopefully, you know, everybody, all the ghost hunters out there, even if you can't make the event on December 12th, Check out the information on our, you know, our deadline page that gives you, if you want to send in a check, all the information is there. If you just want to make a donation to help the family at this time, that would be great. If you have any other questions and need more details, there's a woman on there who's Christina. She's in charge of this event, and her email address is on the site. It's Bella's Blessings 2007 at yahoo.com. And again, that's all on the deadline page. So you can, you know, even if, like I said, if you can't make the event, at least send in a donation and a well wish. That would be really wonderful. And, you know, our hearts and prayers definitely go out to them, and hopefully this will be a successful fundraiser for them at this time. So, okay. And that's pretty much it. Everything else that you need to know in terms of the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society is contained on the website, njghs.net. If you haven't already, sign up for our Yahoo group, which is the NJGHS Yahoo group. That way you always get the latest and greatest info and email blasted right into your inbox. So that's pretty good. And I think that's it for this show, right?
That's about it.
Okay. So thanks to Brian Sant, the NJGHS technician and producer of the Deadline. Leave me alone.
Hail to the king.
And our team leaders, Gregory and Sherry Irish, Dina Chirico, and Laura Lindemann. And of course, thanks to you for listening. Keep downloading the shows weekly, because at some point in life you have to meet the deadline.